Okay, we're starting here on the bottom of Saf Talmud Amud Bet, three lines from the bottom. Amar Rav, Bugeret Notnim La Laila Rishon. Talking about a woman who's over the age of 12 and a half. Even the first night of her marriage, we give her that first night. Vahani Mile, that's only true, Shelo Ra'ata, if she never had a menstrual cycle yet, she has yet to experience a menstrual cycle. Ava Ra'ata, on the other hand, if she is already menstruated and she has a cycle, she gets only the bilat mitzvah, and that's it. She gets nothing more than that. Meitavik, so this is a long question, because it has to be built up, which is, Maseh, v'natan la Rebbe arba lilot mitoch yudet chodesh. Rebbe gave her 4 nights, which is mentioned in the Mishnah, spread over 12 months. Twice in the Mishnah do we have the 4 nights that are mentioned. That is Beit Shammai's opinion with regards to a tinoket, shelo higi hazmana. They say that she gets 4 nights. In addition, Beit Hillel says about a woman who's a giyazmana, velo ra'ata, that she gets 4 nights from Yom HaRevi'i and Motzei Shabbat. So on that, Beit Hillel does not require that they be sequential 4 nights. It's just 4 nights, period. She gets 4 times when she has Tashmish Amita, and in those 4 times, she's still classified, if she sees Damim, then as of seeing Dam Betulim. Same is true for Beit Shammai, same is true for Beit Hillel. So, Eichi Dami, what was the case here? If we're talking about a girl who has yet to reach the age where she would menstruate, we know that Beit Hillel's opinion with regards to that is until the wound has healed. So why are we talking about Arba Lelot? Arba Lelot is only relevant when we're talking about a girl who's come of age. It must be that he gave her those 4 times when she was a ne'ara. Gemara says, kulu b'mei na'arut. There were all of those 12 months during the time that she was a ne'ara. Gemara says, na'arot, yud bet chodesh mi'iko. How could you have a 12-month span while she is a ne'ara? V'hamar shmul, em b'mei na'arut u'bagrut, elevav chodeshim b'lvad. The whole duration, the whole span of na'arut is 6 months long. So here we're talking about Rebbe giving 12 months. We're only talking about a 6-month duration, which is the 6 months of Na'arut. So that can't be the situation. V'chitema, if you want to suggest here, but sir mahochi hu deleka, that less than 6 months there can't be. Ha tfeika, there could be more than 6 months of Na'arut. Ha bilvad kamar. When Shmuel says it, says ein bein Na'arut lebagrut elavav chodeshim bilvad. Period. Rashi actually takes out this piece of that part of the Gemara in the Gemara in Kiddushin. Says it's not necessary, of course. Even if you didn't have the word bilvad, when you say ein bein na'arut u'bagrut el vav chodeshim, that means literally vav chodeshim. Doesn't mean no less than. It means equal to that. Nevertheless, Tosafot defends keeping the girsa here, and that's what we have in our Gemara. The girsa that the question is posed and then rejected because of the word bilvad. Ella. So what's the situation of the span of 12 months? The yavla shtein bimei katnut. She had 2 times that she had intercourse while she was still a minor. Ushtaim bimei na'arut, and 2 times while she was a na'ara. The underlying assumption over here is that the span between the biot is equal, meaning that they have 3 months, 3 months, 3 months, 3 months. So over a 12-month period, every 3 months she's having biah with her husband, and therefore 6 months of that took place while she was a minor, and 6 months of that took place while she was a na'ara. And therefore 2 of them were while she was a ktana, and 2 of them were while she was a na'ara. So now, we still haven't reached the question yet. So, ha, ba'minei Rav Chinina bar Shalmaya Meirav posed this question to Rav. Higia Zmanali wrote, she reached the point of being of age where she could see, tachat bala, married mahu. Amarlei, kol bilo shata bu'el, inan el achat. Until she reaches of age, any bia that you have only count as one. Bashar mashlimi ledala ledot. So Rav suggests over here that any bia that you have while she is a ktana counts as one bia. Even if you have multiple biot, only after she crosses over the threshold of being of age, then do we start counting the 4 leilot. So that means everything before the age of 12 is 1. After that point, each time that you had biah, you count as 1. So if that's the case, how could you have 2 bimei katnut and 2 bimei na'arut? Because Rav just said that there is no such thing as 2 while you're a ktana. Any biah that you have during a ktana all counts towards 1. So now we're going to have to redistribute these 4 leilot over the 12-month period. Ella, the ayivla achat bimei katnut, she had 1 biah, and it doesn't have to be literally be 1 biah, it could be multiple biot, it's just counted as 1 biah, while she's a ktana. Shtayim bimei na'arut, and then she has 2 while she's a na'ara. V'achat bimei bagrut, and then 1 when she is a bugeret. So that's the span of the 4. Again, the 12-month span from the time she's a minor until the time that she's a bugeret. So now here comes the question. If normally we give a bugeret more than just one night, just like when we look at the Yemei Narut and we take a look back at the Yemei Katnut while she was a minor, we only count all the biot that she had while she was a minor as one. So too, when you are a bugeret, the same thing will be true when it comes to the Yemei Narut. So haninami narut lebagrut nitzala chado. So too, when you are looking at the Yemei Narut versus bugeret, Yemei Narut will only count as one. That means all the biot that you have when she is a minor counts as one. All the biot she has while she's a nara counts as one. Then whatever remains goes towards the bagrut. So that way, if we say that normally we would give her by when she's a bogeret more. So then when you have these biot that come beforehand, they reduce the number. So normally, let's say she gets 2 days while she's a bogeret. So now you have 1 day while she was a ktana, 1 day while she was a ne'ara, and that leaves you only one left over while she is a bogeret. On the other hand, if she only gets 1 day while she's a bogeret, then that day is already used up by the Yemei Narut. So why does she have any time left? Why isn't it just bilat mitzvah and out? So that's the Gemara's question on Rav's position. Because Rav's position with regards to a bogeret is, notim la laila rishon. That's it. She gets one night. But if you only give her one night, then how is it possible that if she only has one night, that wasn't already captured by the Yemei Narut, that she had the times that she had biyah during her Yemei Narut? So now, Ella, Iyamart, Bogeret, Alma, Loivana, Litvei, if you say in general, a Bogeret only gets 1 day, Lodlitivla, Ella, Bilat, Mitzvah, but too low. In this instance, she should only be entitled to a Bilat, Mitzvah, and no more. So Mara says, and Shaul, this goes to your question, the Olam, Tilayivla, Achat, Bimei Katnut, Vigimel, Bimei Narut. She had one of the biot while she's a ktana. And again, one doesn't literally mean one. It could be multiple biot, but they only count as one while she's a ktana. And then she has three biot while she's a nyara. Misa verad kol talata yarche. Who says that the interval between the biot has to be 3 months? Why don't you say chadona? Why do you have to say that every 3 months you get one bia? Kol tre yarche chadona. Let us say that every 2 months there was a bia. By doing that, over a 6 month period, you could have three biot. Now Tosfot does ask a very basic question. Why did the Gemara have to switch to 2 month intervals? Even if she has bia every 3 months, you could still have all three of them fall out while she's a ne'ara. You have one at the beginning of her ne'arut, 3 months later, which is the middle of her ne'arut, you have another one, and then 3 months later at the end of her ne'arut, you have another one. You have three of them, even if you have the spread of 3 months between them. Of course, you're going to have to say then that either the bia that she had while she was a ketana was 6 months prior, or the bia that she had afterwards when she was a bogeret was 6 months later to get the full 12 months. But nevertheless, you still could cover this without switching to the 2 month intervals. You could have covered this. So Tosfot explains, and this is what I was hinting to before, Shaul, is that Tosfot explains over here that what the assumption is that while she's a ktana, she's having bia the entire time. Because again, the biot that she has while she's a ktana are counted as one. And then she has bia up to the moment before she becomes a gdola, until the time that she comes in ne'ara. So what we want is we don't have the bia when she becomes a ne'ara, you're not going to have a bia right then. Because then that doesn't seem to be what the Gemara is after. The Gemara seems to be that there's some spread or duration between them. And therefore the first bia has to have some sort of gapping between the time that she became a ne'ara from the last bia she had while she was a ktana. And therefore it says that it's 2 months, 2 months and 2 months. Instead of being, if you had started then and had 3 months, you'd only get two in while she's a ne'ara. So instead it says it's 2 months apart, so equal intervals between them while she's a ne'ara. And again, she would have had to have the first bia when she was a ktana 6 months beforehand, in order to cover the whole entire 12 months. So that removes this question on Rav, because Rav could still say that a bogeret is only entitled to one night, and that will not be undermined by this breita, because this breita has no biot while she's a bogeret. We managed to fit in all the biot while she's a ktana and she is a ne'ara. Right. Well, the idea being that, the assumption being that after 4 biot, the dam betulim will no longer be there. That 4 biot are sufficient to wipe out the dam betula. And if you have a sighting of damim after that point in time, we can no longer assume that it came from the dam betulim. We have to start to assume that it came from the dam nida. So 4 is the number that was kimlehu, or the magic number, in terms of the dam betulim. And after that point in time, we can no longer rely on the fact that it is dam betulim. Right, so now we have Minyamin Saksana, have a Shakil Azil Ajay Shmuel. He was on his way to the city of Shmuel. Samar Lamevad Uvda Kavate de Rav. He wanted to paskin the locha like Rav, meaning to say that what Rav said, Afilu Ra'ata, even if she already had been menstruating. Remember before, Rav said, number one, Bogeret, don't even la Laila Rishon. She gets the first night when she's low Rata. If she does Rata, ain't Laila Bilat Mitzvah. Minyamin wanted to say that Rav said this, whether she saw or she didn't see, whether she had menstruated or not, she still gets Laila Rishon. So basically, he was going to misquote Rav in this situation. Amar, lo polig Rav, ben Rata, ben lo Rata. His assumption being that Rav does not distinguish between whether she's already menstruating or not menstruating, she gets the full day. Shochiv ba'orcha. He dies on the way to the city of Shmuel. Kari Shmuel alei derav. Shmuel says that this pasuk is appropriate for Rav. Lo yu'uneh letzadik kolavin. That no bad will befall the tzadik. No iniquity will befall the tzadik. Here, Rav would have been misquoted, and that would have been a horrible thing. What happens is that this minyamin dies on the way to paskening the halacha, like Rav in the wrong way. And so Rav was protected from this mistake being said over in his name. Now, even though we're going to see in the Gemara later on that Rav and Shmuel think that there's only Bilat Mitzvah, no more. So Rav doesn't even hold of this idea of Laila Rishon. Nevertheless, even if Minyamin had Paskin like the way Rav says over here, at least it would have accorded with the Mishnah somehow. So he wouldn't have been so upsetting. But the way Minyamin was explaining Rav, which was that she gets Laila Rishon both for Ben Rata, Ben Shalom Rata, that was Lo Aliba de Ochasa no matter what. And therefore, Shmuel says that Hashem protected Rav from this misquote taking place.
And the Gemara is bringing this memory over here because it's authored by Rav Chinina Bar Shalmaya, who was the questioner before of Rav, in the question that we brought before in the Gemara. So the Gemara brings down these two memorot of Rav Chinina Bar Shalmaya together.
Once the teeth of an individual fall out, his ability to make a livelihood or to gather in mizonot is limited. Shenemar, because the pasuk says in Amos, Begam ani natati lachem, Nikyon shinayim b'chol areichem v'choser lechem b'chol mekomoteichem. Now the literal translation of nikyon shinayim means that you had clean teeth, meaning that there was nothing to eat. There was nothing to eat in all your cities, and there was no bread in all your settlements. The way the Gemara is learning this, nikyon shinayim means clean of teeth. You don't have teeth. So when I made it that you didn't have teeth, there was also a problem of choser lechem. There was a problem of a lack of food. All right, now we continue with the Mishnah. Mishnah says, "Ra'ata, if she is saying v'oda b'veit avia, she had menstruated while she was still in her father's house, and then only later got married." Sutara banan, ra'ata v'oda b'veit avia, if she already is menstruating while she's still in her father's house, beit ilo omrim kol alayla shela, she gets the first night, and that's what they say in our Mishnah. V'notim la onash lema. Not only does she get the night, she gets an entire ona. Bekama ona shlema. What does it mean, a whole ona? Perish Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, laila v'chatzi yom. It's the entire night plus a half day. I says, umi be'inan kulei hai. Do you really need that much? We've seen the word ona before in the Gemara, or this term ona before in the Gemara. And when it came to this term of ona, we said that it was yom or laila. It was only a 12-hour period. So why are we coming over here and saying it's 18 hours? It's a day and a half. Correct. Here we're saying that it's a day and a half, and in prior times in the Gemara, we'd said it was a 12 hours. It was either Yom or Laila, not a day and a half. Virimini. And the Gemara is going to challenge this concept in Ona, because Haresha Yugitabu Beit Badav Tmeot. His wine press, or his olive press, had become Tmeot. Ubikesh la Sotan Betarab. And he wants to now be Mitaher them. Ketza Duose. How is he Mitaher them? So he takes Hadapim. He takes the boards that are used to press. Ve'alulavim, and the lulavim, which are the brushes that are used to clean out the gat. Ve'adashim, the adashim are, according to Rashi, the basins of the gat itself. These are the areas where you actually press the grapes or the olives. That's the gat itself. Whereas Tosafot says that it's actually a smaller area within the press itself. They used to put some lime, and they used to surround a pile of grapes or olives with some sort of encapsulation, and that encapsulation was called the Adashim. They're forced to that because of a Braita and Baba Batra, therefore they come up with alternatives to what these Adashim are. Now, which of these three items? Madichan. You rinse them off, and they're fine. Now, next is Hakalim. The Hakalim is the wicker work, Shel Nitzarim, if it's made out of willows, the Shel Bitzbutz. Bitzbutz, according to Rashi, is canvas, which is hemp, which is basically a cover that they used to put over the pile of grapes or the pile of olives made out of wickerwork in order to hold them in place. When the board was pressed on them, you needed to keep them in place so that they would actually get pressed. So this was like almost like an upside-down basket that sat on top of them to hold them in place while they were being pressed. So there, minagvan, then you have to be minagave them. The word niguv in general means to wipe down or to dry off, but over here it probably means to scour, to clean off very well. Shel shifa. If they were made out of bast, v'shel gemi, or made out of reeds, miyashnan. He has to let them age. Become a miyashnan. What does it mean to let them age? Yud bet chodesh. You leave them for 12 months, unused, and that's how they become tahor. Shimon Gamliel omer, minichan migat legat. You don't have to wait 12 months, you only have to leave them from one pressing to the next pressing. Umibad the bad, and the same with the olives. Where it says, hainu tanakama, what's the difference? You only press the olives and the grapes once a year. You have the harvest once a year and you press them at that time. So ikibeinayu, the difference between them would be charfei vafilei. It depends on the timing of the gat. Sometimes the gat will be late, sometimes it'll be early. So according to the Tana Kama, it's always 12 months. And Tosua points out, we're talking about 12 months of chodshei alevana. We're talking about 12 months of the lunar year. But as Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, it's driven by when the gat comes. You don't have to be exactly 12 months. Sometimes you'll have more than 12 months. Sometimes you'll have less than 12 months, depending on when the harvest falls out, if it's an early harvest or a late harvest. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Arutze L'Teher Miyad. What happens if you don't want to wait the 12 months? How can you be Mitayer them immediately? Magilan Berotchin. You pour that over them, scalding hot water. O Choltan B'mezeitim. Or you scald them with the water it came from boiled olives. You place them under a pipe that has water running on it. You let the water run in it. Or into a spring whose water is flowing. How much time do you have to leave it under this pipe or in the spring? You have to leave it there for one ona. Same way they said by yayin nesech to kasher it, so too they said over here by taro to make something tahor. It says should be just the opposite. This Tosefta is asking, how are you mitaher the gat and the beit abad? The question here is not about how are you machshir them, how do you make them kasher, it's about how you make them tahor. So it should be the other way around. Ella, kederach shamru b'tarot. The way that is described in this Tosefta, to do the tarot, to be mitaher things, that works too, kachamru b'yayin nesech. The same processes work by yayin nesech to be machshir them. V'kama ona, and this is the whole question, here we get to it. How long is an ona? Amar Rav Chir ba'avar Rav Yochanan, o yom o laila. It's either day or night. Rav Chana she'una, v'amar yila Rav Chana bar she'una, amar Rabbar bar Chana, Rav Yochanan, chatzi yom v'chatzi laila. Half a day and half a night. V'amar Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak v'lo plige. There is no machloke between these two opinions. Ha, b'tkufat nisan v'tishrei. First opinion brought down that it is o yom o laila is talking about the equinox. It's talking about the spring equinox and the fall equinox, which is Nisan and Tishrei, where the days are exactly equal, and therefore Yom and Laila is the same thing. It's 12 hours during the day, it's 12 hours during the night, so O Yom or O Laila. The statement or the opinion of Yochanan, which says that it's half a day and half a night, is talking about Tkufat Tammuz v'Tevet. It's talking about the summer solstice and the winter solstice, the longest and shortest days of the year. So at that point in time, if you take half a day and half a night, it'll come out to be 12 hours. So the bottom line is that it's 12 hours. You can get 12 hours either by picking day or night on the equinox, or you can get 12 hours by taking half a day and half a night any other time of the year, including the solstices. You take half a day and half a night, you're going to come out with exactly 12 hours. So that's the question here. How come Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in our case is saying you get 18 hours, you get a day and a half, and over here we're saying that it is 12 hours. So Hachanami Ema Gabi Nida Chatzi Yom V'Chatzi Laila. Why don't we just say the same thing here by Nida? When he says Chatzi Yom, it means half a day and half a night. It says, v'ha laila v'chatzi yom kamar. He said pretty explicitly, you get one night plus a half a day. Ela, I laila dinisan. No, it's really an or statement. Either you can get one night during Nisan v'Tishrei, meaning at the equinox, you can have the whole night. Oh, i'chatziyom, the chatziyom means really chatziyom v'chatzilayla v'teved v'tamuz. So that's how the Gemara answers. The Gemara answers then that it is 12 hours. And Rav Shimon Gamliel's statement isn't night and half a day, but rather a night or half a day and half a night. And it's basically what we just explained in Ona, that it's 12 hours. That's one answer. V'by Dema, an alternative answer by Nida, is Shani Ktuba. Over here, the Girsa is likely Demagi Batfei, that there's a lot of negotiation that goes on with the Ktuba. Ah, the Chatme, until it's signed. So therefore, the assumption is that even if they get married on that night, he will not be able to consummate the marriage till much later, because the negotiations about the Ktuba and getting the Ktuba signed and everything surrounding that will take up half the night. So he's only going to start halfway through the night, and because of that, he's really getting 12 hours by taking a night, and a half a day is the equivalent of 12 hours, because the first 6 hours are going to go into dealing with the Ktuba and everything surrounding the marriage process. Right now, we have a statement by Rabbi Shmuel, which basically undermines everything that we've seen until now. Which is Rabbi Shmuel, d'amrei tevayu, halacha. This is the halacha. Boel bilat mitzvah u'poresh. You're boel the bilat mitzvah, and then you separate, and that's it. Now Rashi says over here, boel bilat mitzvah, ben higiazmana, ben lo higiazmana. Doesn't matter whether she's a minor, or whether she's already of age. Irrespective of that, all she gets is the bilat mitzvah, and no more. If you look in the Rambam, the way the Rambam writes it, he thinks that it only applies to shehigiazmana. Rav Shmuel's statement is only about Higiazmana, but Shelo Higiazmana is not governed by the statement of Rav Shmuel, and obviously that will have nafka minot l'alacha. So Meitiv Rav Chisto, what do you mean? Me'aseh v'netan l'rabbi dalali yot mitoch yubet chodesh. How can Rav Shmuel say this? We have a braita, it's a story with Rabbi, that he gave the young girl 4 nights out of the 12-month period. According to them, you only get bilat mitzvah. Amalei, Rovo, others have the girsa rabo, hadurei apircho l'omali, ayate bimatniton. Why are you asking from Rabbi? Just go to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah has all these cases where Bilat Mitzvah is not the governing principle over here. That's only Beit Shammai's opinion in a case where she's of age and already menstruated. That's the only time we have Boel Bilat Mitzvah Puresh. Nowhere else do we have that. So why don't you just ask from our Mishnah? Why are you bringing this case by Rabbi? Who Savar? Maaser Rav. He thought that it was better to bring down a practical halacha, to bring the question from something where there's actual psak halacha. By Rabbi, we have a psak halacha. We're not talking about a theoretical mishnah. We're talking about a psak halacha. Mikol makom l'Rabbi Shmuel kasha. Now we have a problem for Rabbi Shmuel. Number one is that they're against Rabbi. And number two is they're against our mishnah. So where it says, inu d'avdu k'rabuteinu. They paskin like these rabbonon, the Tanya. We have a brighter rabuteinu, chazru v'nimnu, that they got together and concluded, Bo'el Bilat Mitzvah u'Poresh, that you have a Bilat Mitzvah u'Poresh. So they're paskening like these Rabbanan, the Rabbotenu that are found in the Braita. Amarula, Ki havu ba Rabbi Yochanan v'Shlakish b'Tinoket. When Rabbi Yochanan v'Shlakish were learning our Perek Tinoket, Lova maske mino, they didn't take anything away from it. Elkede masik, Tala mi'beg kravo. They would take away from this Mishnah and from this Perek, only like what a fox takes away when he goes through the furrow in the field. He goes through the furrow in the field, he doesn't find any food, he just goes away with the dust. So too, when they came to this parak, they didn't take anything away, umisami behochi, and then they concluded, bo'el bilat mitzvah puresh. Meaning that they took nothing away the halacha, except for this final conclusive statement of the braita, which is, bo'el bilat mitzvah puresh. So that means that we have a Rav Shmuel paskin halacha, bo'el mitzvah puresh, Rabbi Yochanan v'Shlakish saying the same thing. And this is based on the Rabbeinu that are found in the Braito. So for that reason, we paskin, like Rav and Shmuel, that well be bilat mitzvah u'poresh. The question is, what is that referencing? You see over here, Rashi says that it's ben higiazmana, ben shelo higiazmana. And I mentioned before that the Rambam seems to indicate that it is only behigiazmana. That's the only time that it applies. It doesn't apply to shelo higiazmana. The Raivad seems to indicate that the Rambam is paskling like Beit Shammai. The Rambam is only speaking in Higiazmana, and we saw in the Mishnah by Higiazmana and Rata that Beit Shammai says, Boel b'let mitzvah poresh. Sounds like he's paskling like Beit Shammai. Though the Magid Mishnah says that not necessarily true because of Rav and Shmuel. He's paskling like Rav and Shmuel, but just saying it's in a case by Higiazmana. That's when Rav and Shmuel spoke, and he's paskling like Rav and Shmuel, not like Beit Shammai. Amalei Rabbi Avi the Rav Ashi l'miata bal nefesh like mor biato. If that's the case, that you're boel b'mitzvah, and that's it. Because we're choshesh that the dam that you see here is not dam tulim anymore, it could be dam nida, then he shouldn't even finish up the biyah. As soon as he breaks the dam betulim, That should be it. He should pull out because there might be some suspicion that now we hit Dam Nida. If we made that the case, people would be afraid even to start down the process of Bia and having Bia with the Betula because they'd be scared that they would end up with a problem of Dam Nida. So we say that he's allowed to be Bo Bilat Mitzvah and to at least get through that and finish up the Bilat Mitzvah. Tan Rabbanan. Vikulan Shayu Shofo'ot Dam Ubo'ot Mitoch Dalet Lot Achar Dalet Deot. If she had dam flowing, she had the first damim that she sees during those 4 nights, and then that flow continues after the 4 nights. Mitoch alayla, achar alayla. Or, in a case where she's only entitled to 1 night of dam tulim, she continues to see this damim straight from that night into the next day. Kulan tzrichin livdok et atzman, you have to check. Ubi kulan, in all these cases, Rabbi Meir machmir kedivrei Beit Shammai. Rabbi Meir paskins like Beit Shammai in all the cases of our Mishnah. The 3 cases in our Mishnah. In each of the 3 cases, he paskins like Beit Shammai. V'shariyot sheben Beit Shammai uBeit Hillel, halach achar mared damim. On this point, Rabbi Meir does not necessarily agree with Beit Shammai, but he says that when it has to do with the riyot that are between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, then you have to look at what type of dam is there. Sheya Rabbi Meir omer, mared damim mishunim hein zeh mizeh. That look of the blood of dam tulim is different than dam nida. Okay, it said, what's that? Dam nida adom. Dam nida is red. Dam tulim enu adom. Dam tulim is not red. Dam nida zehum. Dam nida has a dirty mucousy side to it. Dam tulim enu zehum. Dam nida ba min ha-makor. Dam nida comes from the uterus. Dam tulim ba min ha-tzadim. Comes from the lining of the vaginal canal. So based on that, there is a difference between dam nida and dam tulim. So to understand Rabbi Meir's opinion, there are actually 3 different opinions here. There's Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel, and Rabbi Meir. Beit Shammai believes, and we see this in the Mishnah, that they give their time periods, and during those time periods, the dam that you see during that time period is covered. Anything that you see afterwards, even if your dam flows straight from that out of that period of time, anything, as soon as you cross over the threshold of that line, it becomes dam nida and not dam tulim. So for instance, in the case of a ktana, where she gets 4 nights, those 4 nights she's covered. Any dam seen then is considered to be dam tulim. Even if she flows from those 4 nights out into past that point in time, as soon as she crosses over that time 4 nights, that dam that she sees afterwards is automatically dam nida according to Beit Shammai. Beit Hillel says, as long as the dam is flowing, talin and bib tulim, afilo domelo dam nida. Even if it's similar to dam nida, if it continues to flow from the period of time that she's covered to outside of that period, or basically she has a wider range because Beit Hillel gives a much bigger span of time, all of that is considered to be dam tulim. Now Rabbi Meir comes in the middle. He says, I paskin like Beit Shammai, which means that the time frame that I'm talking about is Beit Shammai's time frame. So within the time frame of Beit Shammai, it doesn't matter what color the dam is, doesn't matter what dam you're seeing, we're toled in dam tulim. If it continues to flow out of that period of time, Rabbi Meir says that I will be toled in the dam bitulim, as long as that color of the dam is similar to the dam that came before. As long as it's similar to that dam, then I'll consider it to be dam tulim. If the color changes, or the nature of that dam changes, then I will not be toled. Beit Hillel would say, if it continues to flow, you're torah, even if the dam remains, doesn't remain with that color. Those are the 3 opinions. You have Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel on either side, and Rabbi Meir sitting in the middle, paskin like Beit Shammai, but being more mekil to Beit Shammai, which is that if the dam flows out of that period of time into the period of time of Beit Hillel, he'll say that that is considered to be dam tulim as long as the color is retained, as long as it remains with the color of the dam tulim. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak by Rabbi Yossi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, zu devi Rabbi Meir. That's Rabbi Meir's opinion of Chamim Omrim, kol mare damim echatein, that all dam looks the same. So you cannot draw any distinctions based on the color of the dam. And they paskin like Beit Hillel legamre. You're covered for those days in which you would have those sightings. Everything in those days we consider dam tulim. Doesn't matter if it changes colors. Doesn't matter what happens to it. Anything during the period of time that Beit Hillel gives you is classified to be dam bitulim. So again, that's the opinion of the Rabbanon and Beit Hillel. Opinion of Beit Shammai is that you have a much smaller duration of time, and only that time, even if it flows out of there. Rabbi Meir sits in the middle, which is that he holds like Beit Shammai with a smaller duration, a smaller period of time, which is covered, or we consider it to be dam betulim. Yet, he says, if the dam continues to flow from that period out into the period of Beit Hillel, I will consider that dam betulim as long as the dam remains the same color, or the same nature. But if the dam changes, then I will say that it's dam nida, and paskin legame like Beit Shammai. If it continues to flow and it looks like the Dan Betulim before, and I'll hold like Beit Hillel, that is still considered to be Dan Betulim. Okay, we'll stop over here because the next part of the sugya really continues deep into Daf Samach Vav.